During my junior year in high school, my grandpa on my dad's side was battling liver cancer severely. And as I watched him go through that between the chemotherapy, the time in the hospital, the time out of the hospital, I noticed that whenever he had a chance to be out of the hospital and he had the energy, he was in this church serving. And it spoke to me so loud and clearly that he understood that this life, he was able to give it all to Christ, all to God, because of the hope that he had in Christ, because of the confidence and hope that the finished work of Christ gives us. The last saying I have is the second to last is that it is finished, that Christ cried on the cross. And I want to tell you about the hope that that gives us as believers. So open your Bibles to John 19. I'll read verses 28 through 30. It says, "Later, knowing that all was now completed, and so that the scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, 'I am thirsty.' A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of the hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, 'It is finished.' With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit." There's three things I'd like to focus on. One, our hope is secured because of what Christ has finished. The second thing, our hope is secured because Christ has left us nothing to finish. And the third thing, our lives can now be a confident response because of the finished work of Christ. Have you ever wondered during your life why crazy events happen? What is the purpose of all this? How does this fit into the purpose of my life? What is the purpose of my life? It's like I see all these events, and sometimes I can see how they line up, but I may not realize it all until I get to heaven. Jesus, throughout his life, and we see throughout the Gospel of John, he never wondered why things were happening. He always knew, this is happening for this reason, this is happening for this reason. And my purpose on this earth is to complete the task that the Father has sent me to do. In John 2, verse 4, it says, "And Jesus said to her, 'Woman, what does that have to do with us? My hour has not yet come.'" John chapter 7, verse 30, it says, "So they were seeking to seize him, and no man laid his hand on him, because his hour had not yet come." John 8, verse 20 says, "These words he spoke in the treasury, as he taught in the temple, and no one seized him, because his hour had not yet come." During my 4 years at Boyce College, there were many long nights, generally spent towards the end of the semester when everything was due, spent up late studying for exams, writing countless lengthy papers, and I had motivation behind all that because I knew one glorious day I'm going to get to walk across the stage and shake Dr. Moeller's hand and get that bachelor's degree, and it will be finished. And when that day came, it was so wonderful because it was worth it to go through all of that. And on a grander scale, on something that is the pinnacle of all of human history, Christ on the cross cries, "It is finished." And in the Greek, this word, "it is finished," is tetelestai. It has the idea of accomplishing the will of somebody. And because this came from the mouth of Christ, it's huge. It's this massive hinge on which everything turns and everything rests. And Jesus had finished his redemptive work that the Father gave him to do. "It is finished" was not a cry of defeat. It was not a cry of an ending to a worn-out life, but it was a cry of victory, which solidifies precious truths to every believer from that moment on. The Messiah's work was complete. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 5 through 7 says, "Consequently, when Christ came into the world, he said, 'Sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me, and burnt offerings and sin offerings you have taken no pleasure.' Then I said, 'Behold, I have come to do your will, O God, as it is written of me in the scroll of the book.'" During his high priestly prayer in John 17, he says, "I glorified you on this earth, having accomplished the work you gave me to do." His work was done. His suffering was done. His suffering that he endured during his time on this earth as a human, from the betrayal of Judas, a man who had spent 3 years with him, to the Pilate handing over innocent blood, to the crowd who worshipped him on Palm Sunday, and then that Friday are shouting, "Crucify him, crucify him," to the incredible suffering he endured on the cross when he was separated from God. All that is finished. Our Savior's work is finished in fulfilling the role of being the Messiah. From what was severed back in Genesis 3 by the first Adam is now fulfilled in Christ's purpose. As it was prophesied, Jesus was from the line of David. He was from the line in the seed of Abraham. He made the flight to Egypt. He healed the deaf, the lame, the blind, the mute. In Luke chapter 18, verse 31, Jesus says, "See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written about the Son of Man by the prophets will be accomplished." The condemning Mosaic law has been abolished, and God's wrath has been absorbed for those who trust in Christ. And because it was Christ who died, the great ransom has been paid to the furthest possible extent. But how can Jesus say it is finished when he's up there on the cross and he hasn't died yet and he hasn't risen from the dead yet? Well, Hebrews 13, verse 20 says that it was by the blood of the eternal covenant that God raised Jesus from the dead. You see, Jesus being raised from the dead was only a public declaration that everything has been fulfilled in him. When God raised Jesus from the dead, he was publicly declaring that Jesus' work was completed. Second point, our hope is secured because there is nothing left to finish. So, when Christ is on the cross and he says, "It is finished," that does not mean that I've done my part, I've built my half of the bridge, now you got to build the other half of the bridge. You got to do your part. No, that is how so many other religions work, because they want to put some sort of credit on the self. That's not how it works. That's not how our Savior works. He came and completed it all for us. Jesus did not say, "I've done my part of the deal, now you got to uphold your part of the deal for this to work." No, Romans 8:1. "Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." He was the perfect sacrifice for our sins. If you are in the family of God, your sins are eradicated once for all on the cross. Scripture mentions no continuing rituals that we must perform over and over to stay saved, or balancing of our good works versus sinful deeds. Only Christ's suffering and death in place Only Christ's suffering and death in place of the believing sinner can deal with the consequences of sin. If you depend upon your works in any way, then you reject the sufficiency of our Savior. Let me say that again. If you depend upon your works in any way, you reject the sufficiency of our Savior. Salvation is by faith alone, through grace alone, and in Christ alone. "It is finished" means we can rest confidently in the finished work of Christ. The only good that God sees in us is that which is inherited from Christ. For those of us who trust in the righteousness of Christ as our only hope, we cannot advance our ranking or position with God by our good works. On the flip side of that, we cannot diminish our ranking or position with God by our lack of good works or sinful deeds. And this is not to say that there are no consequences to sin, but if you are saved, then you are not under God's wrath. You are saved from God's wrath and do not need to live in fear of that. The only thing left for us to do is to believe, and by believing, we have life in His name. And when we truly believe, our lives become a confident response to the finished work of Christ. Now, that's not to say that once we believe, once this becomes more than just even historical fact to us, once this becomes a life-changing thing where we are brought out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of life, where our lives exist simply as a servant for Christ, that does not mean everything's going to be perfect. We're still going to sin. We're still going to mess up. And when we do, don't fall into the pattern of thinking that, oh, I blew it. I messed up. I'm under probation from God now. God probably doesn't want to use me for a while because I messed up. No, it's not like that. We don't have to take some time and prove to God that, yes, I'm good. You can take me back, God. You can love me again. No, what's that depending upon? That's depending upon our works. God does not see us because of our works. He only sees us as part of His family because of the righteousness of Jesus Christ that is inside of those who follow Him with their lives. Our relationship with God is based upon the Savior who finished the work that the Father gave Him to do. We can live knowing that our union with Christ guarantees our justification, sanctification, our glorification. And we can, like Paul, on his conversion, at his conversion on the road to Damascus, say, Lord, what do you want me to do? We can, like Isaiah, say, here I am, send me. And we press on so that every facet of our lives screams that we live with a hope beyond this world and we can point others to our Redeemer. What other Redeemer has an Easter? What other Redeemer conquered death? Nobody else did. Every other religious leader is history. They're born, they died, that's it. What do you do with a man who rises from the dead? You have to confront him in your own life. You have to deal with him. And guys, we have such a hope in Jesus Christ, and that is not something to hide. Even when we sin, even when we fail, even when we mess up, we know that He is our advocate before the Father, who is the propitiation of our sins. We know that we can run to the arms of God and He will accept us because of the finished work of our Savior. When Christ on the cross publicly declared for the hostile enemies, the Roman guards, His disciples, the scribes, and even God the Father, that it is finished, He was declaring that His work on this earth was done. No longer do men need to live separated from God, but rather there is a way for men to be united with their Creator. Life can have hope that will prove itself into eternity. And at the end of this short life, we along with Paul can say, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for His appearing. It is finished marks the centerpiece and pinnacle of all human history. Christ returned to this earth, and the victory that He will have is all because of the victory that He had on the cross. Everything from the beginning of time that points to Christ was completed in Him on the cross. Jesus has overcome. The grave is overwhelmed. The victory is already won. And because of His finished work, I will rise when He calls my name. Darkness will break to light. The shadows will be no more. We, along with every longing heart, will cry, "Worthy is the Lamb." But until that day, we press on. We press on, knowing that Jesus has already won the victory. And we press on to proclaim to this world who our Savior is. And we have confidence that no matter what happens in this life, we have a hope that we will be united with our Savior in heaven one day. Charles Spurgeon says, "As long as there is breath in our bodies, let us serve Christ. As long as we can think, as long as we can speak, as long as we can work, let us serve Him. Let us serve Him with our last gasp. And if possible, let us try to get some work going that will glorify Him when we are dead and gone." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You. Thank You for sending a Redeemer for us. Thank You for sending one who has abolished our sins. Thank You for sending Your Son who has completed and finished everything that You sent Him to do. God, allow this hope to permeate our entire being. Everyone that we come in contact with, let them realize we live with a hope. And let our lives confidently serve You and confidently have a hope in You no matter what we're going through because of Your finished work on the cross, Lord. In Your name we pray. Amen.